Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada. Jai Om Vishnupada Padmahansa Bhagavatara Sota Sata Sri Srimad Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupada Padmahansa Bhagavatara Sota Sata Sri Srimad Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Namachari Srila Haridas Thakura Ki Jai. Premsagaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhanichananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivastati Go Bhaktarinda Ki. Vrindavan Dham Ki. Mayapur Dham Ki. Dwarka Dham Ki. Munamayi Gangamayi Ki. Samaveda Bhaktarinda Ki. All glory to the assembled devotees. All glory to the assembled devotees. All glory to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We have a lot to cover, so I'm going to read the English on the back portion of these verses. That leads up to where we are on the board in the next chapter. The son of Hayai was Dharma, and the son of Dharma was Nitra, the father of Kunti. From Kunti came a son named Sahanji. From Sahanji came Mahiman, and from Mahiman came Bhadrasena. The sons of Bhadrasena were known as Dharmata and Dharnaka. Dharnaka was the father of Krita Virya and is also of Krita Agni, Krita Varma, and Krita Yuja. The son of Krita Virya was Arjuna. Krita Virya Arjuna became the emperor of the entire world, consisting of seven islands, and received the mystic power from Dattatreya, the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus he attained the mystic perfections known as Asta City. No other king in the world could equal Kartavirya Arjuna in sacrifices, charity, austerity, mystic power, education, strength, or mercy. For 85,000 years, Kartavirya Arjuna continuously enjoyed material opulences with full bodily strength and unimpaired memory. In other words, he enjoyed inexhaustible material opulences with his six senses. Of the 1,000 sons of Kartavirya Arjuna, only five remained alive after the fight of Parsaram. Their names were Jaya Dwija, Surasena, Rishabhab, Madhu, and Urjati. Jayadraj had a son named Talaganya, who had 100 sons. All the Kshatriyas in the dynasty known as Jalajanga were annihilated by the great power received by Maharaj Sagar from Aurava Rishi. Of the sons of Talaganya, Vitrihota was the eldest. The son of Vitrihota named Madhu had a celibate son named Vrishni. Madhu had 100 sons, of whose Vrishni was the eldest. The dynasty known as Yadava, Madhava, and Vrishni had their origins from Yadu, Madhava, and Vrishni. O Maharaj Parikshit, because Yadu, Madhava, and Vrishni each inaugurated a dynasty, their dynasties are known as Yadava, Madhava, and Vrishni. The son of Yajna named Krota had a son named Rijasana. The son of Rijnavan was Swahita, and the son of Swahita was Sugur, son of Vyagya, Tritarathra, and the son of Chitaratra, Asubandhu. The greatly fortunate Asubandhu, who was a great mystic, possessed 14 opulences, and was the owner of 14 great jewels. Thus he became emperor of the world. And so it enumerates these different opulences. In the Markandeya Purana, the 14 kinds of great jewels are described as follows: an elephant, a horse, a chariot, a wife, arrows, reservoir of wealth, a garland, valuable costumes, trees, spear, name, noose, jewels, umbrella, and regular principles. To be the emperor, one must possess all 14 of these opulences. Sahubandhu possessed them all. Of all these jewels, the most difficult one to possess is a wife. We can have many of these things. We can have a reservoir of wealth. We can hire an elephant, a horse, all these things, but to get a good wife, that's not easy. The famous Sasubandha had 10,000 wives. By each, he begot a lack of sons. Therefore, the number of the sons was 10,000 lakhs. Not a small number. Among these many sons, six were foremost, such as Puru Shrava, Puru Krita. The sons of Puru Shrava was known as Dharma, and this son was known as Usana. Usana was the performer of 100 horse sacrifices. The son of Usana was Ruchaka, who had five sons, Puruchit, Rukma, Rukmisa, Pritu, Janmagya. Please hear of these sons from me. Janmagya had no sons, but because he was fearful of his wife, Sabaya, he could not accept another wife. Janmagya once took from the house of a royal family a girl who was a prostitute. But upon seeing her, Subhadra was very angry and said to her husband, my dear husband, you're a cheater. Who is this girl sitting upon my seat on the chariot? Yajnamagna then replied, that girl will be your son-in-law, your daughter-in-law. Upon hearing these joking words, Saha smilingly replied. Saha said, I am sterile. I have no co-wife. How can this girl be my daughter-in-law? Please tell me. Jayamagya replied, my dear queen, I shall see that you indeed have a son, that this girl will be your daughter-in-law. So Eric's explained here. Long, long ago, Jayamagya had satisfied the demigods and pritas and worshipping them. And by the mercy, Jayamagya's words came true. Though Sabaya was barren, by the grace of the demigods, she became pregnant. In due course of time, gave birth to a child named Vidarbha. Before the child's birth, the girl had been accepted as a daughter-in-law. Therefore, Vidarbha actually married her when he grew up. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport, the 9th canto, 21st chapter, 23rd chapter, Srimad Bhagavatam, titled Dynasties of the Sons of Yati. Now begins the 24th chapter, and we go to the 34th verse. A not long purport, we go through it. Vidarbha had three sons named Kusa, Krata, and Romapad. Of these three, Romapad expanded his dynasty by the sons and grandsons, namely Badru, Kriti, Usika, Chidi, Saidya, all of which became later kings. From the sons of Vidarbha named Krata, came a son named Kuti, and from whose dynasty came the descendants named Vrishni, Nirriti, Dasara, Usama, Jamuta, Riktiti, Budharath, Naradina, Dasarath, Shakuni, Karanibad, Devarata, Devaksanya, Madhava, Kuruvasi, Anu, Avyu, Saratya, Satvatya had seven sons, one of whom was Devasya, whose son was Bhadra. Another son of Satyata was Madhu Mahaboga, by whom the Boga dynasty was inaugurated. Another was Rishni, who had a son named Yudaji. From Yudaji came Amitra and Sai. And from Amitra came Nirga and another Sini. The descendants in succession from Sini were Sajaka, Uyudana, Jaya, Krinti, Ugandhya. Another son of Anitra was Rishni. From Rishni came Stapakala, by whom Akura and 12 other sons were generated. From Akura came the two sons named Devavan and Upadeva. The son of Udaka named Kuruka was the origin of the dynasties known as the Rishni, Vikoma, Kutpaturuma, Anu, Anuka, Dandaki, Avidya, Purva, and Ahuta. Ahuka had two sons named Devaki and Ugrasen. The four sons of Devaki were known as Devanan, Upandeva, Sudeva, and Deva Yardana. And the seven daughters were Drita Devi, Santi Devi, Upadevi, Sri Devi, Devaki Sita, Saha Devi, and Devaki. Vasudeva married all seven daughters of Devaka, and Ugrasena had nine sons named Kamsa, Sunama, Nigruha, Kanka, Sunku, Subi, Rastapala, Drishti, and Tustaman. And he had five daughters named Kamsa, Kamsavritti, Kanka, Subra, and Rastapalika. The younger brothers of Vasudeva married all the daughters of Ugrasena. Vidurata, the son of Chitrareta, had a son named Surya, who had 10 other sons, of whom Vasudeva was the chief. Surya gave one of the five daughters, Prita, to his friend Kunti. Therefore, she was also named Kunti, in her maiden state. She gave birth to a child named Karna, and later we married Maharaj Prithu. Rita Ashana married a daughter of Surya named Srita Devi, from whose womb Dantavrakra was born. Drishtaketu married Surya's daughter named Sukakrita and had five sons. Duryodhana married Sita's daughter named Rajadehati, the king of Chidasi. Damagnasa married the daughter of Surya named Shrutarata, and whose Shishupal was born. Devagya, through the womb of Kamsa, begot Chitraketu, Brihabala, and Devagrava. Through the womb of Kamsavati, begot Surveva, Ishraman. From Kanka, through the womb of Kanka, came Baka, Satyajit, Purujit, and from Sri Jana, through the womb of Rastrapika, came Vishnu and Damaksana. Sumaka, through the womb of Surya Bhumi, begat Harikesha and Hiranyaksha. Vatsata, through the womb of Mitra Kesi, begat Dhritra, who begat the sons named Taksha, Pushkar, Sala. From Sanika came Vishnu Sumitra, Arjuna Pala, and from Anaka came Ritarajana and Jaya. Vasudeva had many wives, of whom Devaki and Rohini were the most important. From the womb of Rohini, Baladeva was born, along with Gada, Suryana, Dharmada, Vipala, Dhruva, Krita, and others. Vasudeva had many other sons by his other wives, and the eighth son to appear, the woman Devaki, was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who delivered the entire world from the burden of demons. This chapter ends by glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. Sukadeva Goswami said, by the womb of the mother of the girl bought by his father, Vidarbha begot three sons named Kushakrata and Romanipata. Ramapad was the favorite of the dynasty of Vidurbha. The sons of Ramapad was Brihu, whom there came a son named Krita. The son of Krita was Usika, and the son of Usika was Siddhi. From Siddhi was born a king known as Shaidya and others. It goes on. I'm really sorry, but there's so many names here. We've got to keep them here. Anyway, the sons of Krita, we're almost there. The son of Krita was Kunti. The son of Kunti, Rishni. The son of Rishni, Nirriti. And the son of Nirriti, Dasarat. From Dasarat came Yoma, and Yoma came Jimukta. Jimukta, Vridriki, and from Vridriki, Bhimasrata, and Bhimarata, and Narata, and from Nivarata, Dasarat. From Dasarat came a son named Sukuni, and from Sukuni, a son came named Karambi, and the son of Karambi was Devarsta. And his son was Devakasatra. The son of Devakasatra was Madhu. And the son of Krutavena. I'm going to skip all this. It goes on and on and on. Get to the last chapter. Amogham. Deva, Sandarsam, Adadhi, Triyahi, Chatmacham, Yonir, Yita, Na, Dasyeta, Kritaham, Te, Smudyamini, Amoga Deva Sandarsam, Adiche Traya Duchatmajam Yoni Yatra Nanandeshyata Krityaham Te Sumadhyate. Ladies. Amogham, without failure. Deva Sandarsanam, meeting with the demigods. Adadhi, I shall give my semen. Tivai, unto you. Cha, also. Atmajam, a son. Yoni, the source of birth. Yata, as. Na, not. Dasyata, becomes polluted. Krita, shall arrange. Aham, I, te, unto, you. Sumadhyami, O beautiful girl. Translation and purport by the Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The sun god said, "O beautiful Prita, your meeting with the demigods cannot be fruitless. Therefore, let me place my seed in your womb so that you may bear a son. I shall arrange to keep your virginity intact, since you are still a married girl." Please repeat. The sun god said, "O beautiful Prita, your meeting with the demigods cannot be fruitless. Therefore, let me place my seed in your womb so that you may also bear a son. I shall arrange to keep your virginity intact, since you are still an unmarried girl." Purport. According to Vedic civilization, if a girl gives birth to a son, to a child, before she is married, no one will marry her. Therefore, although the sun god, after appearing with before Prita, wanted to give her a child, Prita hesitated because she was still unmarried. To keep her virginity undisturbed, the sun god arranged to give her a child that came from her, ear, and therefore the child was known as Karna. The custom is that a girl should be married akshata yoni, that is, with her virginity undisturbed. A girl should never bear a child before her marriage. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishnastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Yata Namani Te Sajvata Devi Gwadvan Vachara Nirvasesha Sunyavada Paskacharita. Let me read a little bit what happened before. Once when Durvas was a guest at the house of Prita's father, Kunti, Prita satisfied Durvas by rendering service. Therefore, she received a mystic power by which she could call any demigod. To examine the potency of the mystic power, the pious Kunti immediately called the sun god. As soon as Kunti called for the sun god, he immediately appeared before her, and she was very much surprised. She told the sun god, "I am simply examining the effectiveness of this mystic power. I'm sorry I've called you unnecessarily. Please return and excuse me." The sun god said, "O beautiful Prita, your meeting with the demigods cannot be fruitless. Therefore, let me please place my seed in your womb so that you may bear a son. You shall arrange to keep your virginity intact since you are still a married girl." So by doing that, Karna was born through the ear. And, of course, we know from... I'm sorry about all the dynasties. I mean, it goes on forever, you know. And I didn't read all of it. I got exhausted. So in any case, to go back... In the beginning of this whole dialogue and all these demigods, there's a couple of things mentioned that I wanted to elaborate on. And one was about this Krita Virna Arjuna. He had 1,000 arms by Jamadagni. No, he got another from a boot from one demigod. And so what he did, because he had 1,000 arms, he thought himself invincible. And so like Ravana, he could conquer the entire world. So Krita Virya Arjuna stopped the flow of the Narda River just to test the power of his arms. So he did that. He stopped the river from flowing and dammed up the whole thing. And because of the overflooding in that area, Ravana was camped nearby with his group. So when they camp, they're not alone. They got Akshahinis with them. So the whole camp was disturbed by the overflow of the banks of the river. And so he went out and sought out the cause of this whole thing and found out it was Krita Virya Arjuna. So he started a fight. And so Krita Virya Arjuna was so powerful that he subdued Ravana. Ravana whimpered away and just hung his head between his tails. So in any case, he went on. And so Krita Virya Arjuna goes to the next plus stop on his tour. He goes to the ashram of Jagadatri, Jamadagni. And so it was Jamadagni's hermitage where he was given great facility. And they fed his Akshahini group of soldiers and assistants. And so it was all because of a cat, a cow that could give any benediction. Kamadena is a is a celestial cow. And so anything you ask from that celestial cow can be achieved without any problem. And Prabhupada talked about this celestial cow business. He says, even in the spiritual world, if you ask anything and you're given that benediction, you can even get grass gulas. There's nothing you can't get from a wish-fulfilling cow. So he fed the whole army, and so they were encamped, and he decided, being a puffed-up demon, decided he wanted that cow. So they, in effect, they told his men to steal the cow, and the cow cried and didn't want to separate from his master, Jamagni. Therefore, so they take it to the royal palace in a city nearby. And then when Jamagni came back from his meditation in the river, he found the cow was gone. So, big mistake. So, Jamagni's son happened to be nearby, and we know who his son is. And so you don't mess around with Parasaram. Parasaram found that this thing had happened, so he went to the ashram of this Kritavarya Arjuna and demanded a cow back. And so he got the cow back, and because he didn't tolerate it. Oh, in the meanwhile, Parasaram is on the rampage with his 21 times killing all the Kshatriyas. It's all because of the wife of Jamadagni's, Renuka. And so Renuka was beating her chest 21 times. The cow is gone, the cow is gone. And so he counted it. He counted 21 times. That's how the 21 times he annihilated the Kshatriyas. So they were born, he was born in a Brahmin family, so Jamadagni was really upset that he did this retaliation. He says the best thing for a Brahmin to do is to forgive. And so forgiving is like the nature of the Brahminical class. If you get a problem, ultimately it's best to forgive the doer and just meditate on the crime and just be sorry about the incident that took place. Better to forgive the whole thing. So, in any case, the job was done. But while he was on the warpath, killing all these different 21 dynasties, times, 21 times, all the Kshatriya dynasties, the sons of Kartavirya Arjuna came to the ashram, Jamagni, and decided to cut off the head of the sage as a retaliation for the massacre that would happen in their town, in their palace, in their village. So when he came back, Parasaram saw what had happened and went again to the town, the palace in the dynasty of this Kritavirya Arjuna, and played havoc once more. And so he got that son, he got his father's head, and took the head back and released the head with the body on Kushagrad mats and called demigods to give an inference here and make the body come back to life. And so the body came back to life. And because he was on an innocent place that the Jagannath, anyway, when the body came back to life, he lamented the fact that all this took place, and told that you got to repent for your sins for killing Brahmins, killing Kshatriyas. They're respected as anything like Brahmins because we worship the Kshatriyas. They rule the country and they take advantage for the power that is needed. So in any case, Renuka, the wife of Jagadanmi, saw a whole scene take place in front of her ashram in the forest. The king of the Gandharvas came with his group of Apsaras. The Apsaras are heavenly ladies and they enjoy like anything. So Renuka saw the beauty of this chief of the Gandharvas, and by seeing this, she started to think about having an affair with the Gandharva king. Now, Yamanagni said, be forgiving and don't retaliate when something goes wrong. But he ordered his son to kill his mother. And so she did. He did that. Ultimately, he comes back to life later. But Parasaram killed his mother. So when Kritavarya Arjuna came to retaliate with Parasaram. Parasaram was killing at the speed of mind. Now, then later he got a little soft and went to the speed of wind. So the speed of mind is much faster. You imagine you're thinking you can kill as fast as you can think. And so he was killing, he piled up a whole head. Thousands of these sons' heads were piled up in one big mountain, pools of blood, made three rivers. So this took place, and actually Hini is numbered as 21,870 chariots and elephants, 109,350 infantry, 65,610 horses. All that was annihilated in a blink of an eye. Parasaram was really fast. So then there's a story of Markandeya Rishi, which is given in the beginning of this whole discourse. Markandeya got a benediction. He was able to see the Lord directly and asked the Lord for a favor. He said, my dear Lord, I want to be able to see your illusory energy. I see you are complete in every respect, but I haven't seen your illusory energy. So, big mistake. And so he went back to his ashram, Bhadrak Ashram, and was meditating. Later that night, a storm blew up. That storm got more intense and fierce, and it was blowing trees down and great havoc, and there was lightning striking everywhere. And so here he is, Markandeya Rishi, in the midst of all this, not knowing what's going on. So he was just doing his evening prayers and having a good time, meditating on the beauty of Bhadrak Ashram. And suddenly the whole thing changed completely. Suddenly the ocean swelled up and the world became inundated, and the whole dynasty of all the kings were all annihilated. And suddenly there was nobody on the earth except for Markandeya Rishi. And a famous story. And so he's tolerating all this heavy austerities. I mean, the water flowing in buckets of coming down in huge amounts of torrent. There's just water everywhere. So he's floating in the midst of this whole inundation, not knowing what was really taking place, and forgot the whole idea that, my Lord, show me your illusory energy. But here it was coming on full force. And so the energy was increasing until it was like one day and one night of Lord Brahma, he was sitting in this position of seeing annihilation of the universe. It covered the whole three worlds. So there's team of gilliflesh that we hear about. They were fighting with the Maharajas, and these are monsters in the oceans. And so the sea was full of these big monsters trying to capture and kill Markandeya Rishi, and he avoided it all by mystic power. And so suddenly, after millions of years, wondering what he was doing in this horrible situation, finally he got the vision of a banyan tree in the midst of all this. And in the banyan tree, under the banyan tree, was this little boy sitting on a leaf. And the leaf was near the tree. And so we heard the story, but the details are impressive. And so he went to the boy and asked, who are you and why are you here? How is it you're here all by yourself? And the boy said, well, everybody's after the nectar of my lotus feet. I want to taste my own. And so he put his foot in his mouth. This is a baby's pastime. And so Markandeya Rishi watched this and couldn't believe what he was looking at. So then he was going closer to touch the boy, and he got swept right in, an in-breath like a mosquito, sucked into his stomach, went right into the Lord's body, transcendental body. And so when he got inside, he saw the whole thing before as it was. He saw the whole universe. He saw Bhadrak Ashram. He saw his place where he was. He saw everything as it was before he got the annihilation started. And then he was pushed out again and back into the annihilation, then back again into Bhadrak Ashram. And the Lord said, there's my illusory energy. And so that was part of the deal. Now, Markandeya story, there's a leper who wanted a prostitute. And we hear some of these are famous stories, but the origin is coming out of Markandeya Purana. So this leper who had a very faithful, chaste wife, wanted his prostitute as a lover. So his body touched Markandeya Rishi, who cursed him to die in the sunset or sunrise. And so at sunrise, the chaste wife decided to try to stop the sun from coming up. By her penance and austerities, she didn't stop it, but the Brahma, Shiva, and Vishnu came and gave her a benediction, revived the sun, and cured the husband. Another incident that takes place, mentioned in the Purana, the umbilical cord which ties the baby with the mother is called the Upayani, and the child is fed through that cord. And so it's imperative that a woman who has a baby in a basket should not touch anything spicy, salt, chilies, onions, garlic, etc. All that's mentioned is Purana. Now, the 18 Puranas, Markandeya Purana is one of the top 900 verses, one of the Tamasic Puranas, because it talks about those in ignorance, about meat eating, and about the whole incident with Durga and Kali. So it's mentioned that in that Purana, that Prabhupada said, there always will be people who will be eating meat and being intoxicated. You can't stop. And so there's a provision for those. They're not to take from butcher shops or cleanly packaged in big supermarkets. Meat tonight, meat now is like sterilized and packaged, and so you don't see anything, no blood shows. In any case, according to the Purana, that if a person wants meat, he has to go to Durga or Kali. It still goes on, I think, in Calcutta. They go to the temple of Kali, and then they whisper in the ear of the animal, because I am killing you, you will have the chance in your next birth to kill me. And so I guess that's done in Sanskrit or in Hindi, I don't know. In any case, the whole idea is to revert against this whole cow killing and stop the whole animal slaughter. And then, of course, with Lord Chaitanya's birth, it got mitigated. And with the advent of Parikshit, it got down to four places. As we know, it was no in the houses of gambling, prostitution. In any case, these are the four places that we have our four regular principles from. No illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication, no meat eating. Now, there's a very important sloka that's mentioned in the Purana, that if anybody hears criticism of a devotee, and this is something we should all listen to because it's very important, that ultimately if we hear a devotee exalted, has to be exalted. If anybody is exalted devotee, that means everybody. And so if you're a devotee, you're exalted. Prabhupada mentioned that. It was asked, how many pure devotees are there? And Prabhupada asked the servant, Shamasin, how many devotees are there? There's 10,000. We have 10,000 pure devotees. So as you become a process in the devotional life, you become ascribed to being in a pure state. So any case, when it's mentioned that if you hear it, or if you just say it, if you criticize anybody, ultimately a big, huge thing takes place. First off, your dynasty is ruined, your health is ruined, your life is ruined, and ultimately you go to a hell, especially set waiting for those who are in this class. Your reputation, your sons, everything goes. You immediately fall down. So, I have a memory of two devotees who were very prominent in the early days. They curse each other to fall down, and they broke their thread. So by doing that, actually, you can invoke a curse very, very, very forcefully. And so both of these devotees fell down. I won't mention who they are, but they both fell down. So it's nothing you play around with. If you're wearing a Brahman thread, take advantage of the mercy you give them with using it. Don't curse it, don't break it. Lord Rama is Vasudev. His brothers are Nakarshana, Arjuna, and Aniruddha, who were the brothers of Ram. And Aniruddha was the cause of Mahavishnu. In the Chinese section of the Markandeya Purana, Mahamaya mentions, I will take birth as the daughter of Yasoda. Another name for the external energy Maya is Chandika, goddess who puts all the conditioned souls into darkness. Kali is a background on who Kali is. He appeared as a Gandharva before he was a demon. Damayagni chose a mere mortal as her husband, and Kali was angry and cursed. Nala lost in a dice game like Yudhisthira. The entire kingdom was gone. He lost his bride. But Damayagni revived the whole thing and cursed Kali to become a demon. And so for the next 10,000 years, his influence will diminish due to Lord Chaitanya's mercy and Lord Nimprikshit. There's one occasion that Markandeya Rishi came. The Pandavas were in a forest. And so they were in a forest and they were like on their campfire, just Yudhisthira's talking to the boys. And so who comes along with Markandeya Rishi dressed in his black fur and kamanandu, as description is given. And so Yudhisthira began. Now Narada came also, and Krishna's already present. So what happened is they all sat there, and Yudhisthira was asking questions. And so the first question was, what happens when the karma from your previous life hits you, this life, or last life, or future lives? Then Markandeya Rishi started in the whole beginning to explain their situation. The reason you are going through these austerities is because it's preordained by the demigods. You had to go through these austerities because you came out successful. Your glories will be sung all over the three worlds for all future time to come. So because you've gone through these austerities, you will be again benedicted at the end of your life, and you'll make it to the highest abode, spiritual world. So then he spoke for a little bit longer. There was then Markandeya was sitting at the fire and looking at Krishna. And so he says, the same personality of Godhead was that baby in the beginning of annihilation. It's the same Krishna who's sitting here today in front of you. So do not think otherwise. The same Krishna is a maintainer and supplier and destroyer of the entire creation. Krishna just smiled and just watched. So they left, Markandeya left, Narada Rishi, they left. And Krishna stayed on with Satyabhama. Satyabhama asked Draupadi, how is it you've been able to maintain five husbands? What is your secret? How do you keep five people happy all the time? I'm the first person to get up, I'm the last person to go to sleep. And everything I do is revolves around my husbands. I have 1 year with each one of them. I've had one son, I will have one. She has one son with each of the Pandavas. And so they are like God for me. Whatever son, whatever Pandava I am with at the time for 1 year, I do everything in my power to please that person. And I forsake all my own personality, no cosmetics, no ointments, nothing but forest life. And so I travel with them and I do whatever they want. And I have my pot. I can feed hundreds of thousands until I take. So he explained the whole thing to Satyabhama. Satyabhama was very impressed and said, by mercy of your Lord, you are able to see the fruit of your activity will bear fruit. And Krishna says, don't worry, Draupadi, you're sanctified because my protection is always there. And you will live to see your sons are growing, and they'll be growing up when you see them again. And because of your austerities, your enemies will be vanquished, and you'll be able to be the queen of the entire universe. I guarantee that will take place. I'm going to switch here to a story that I wanted to mention before. I haven't had the occasion. We got still a few minutes. I'm going to talk about Jayananda. Anybody know who Jayananda is? A few people. In any case, I remember in Vrindavan giving a class. I used to give class every day on Jayananda's disappearance and appearance days, because I was with him quite often. And I lived next door to him when he was in his last months, when he was about to leave his body. So my remembrance goes back to 55th Street Temple, when we had a big, huge skyscraper on the Avenue of the Americas on the west side. And I asked Hari Sar if he knew Jayananda. He said, well, I saw him when he was driving a car when we came into 55th Street Penn Temple. And so that's all I know. Tamal Krishna is with him, and he said, Srila Prabhupada, your Jayananda is driving a car. So they parked in front of the temple. They went inside. I was standing there with my wife, and we went inside just shortly after. And as soon as we got inside the door, somebody jumped off the roof, came smacking down on the sidewalk. Some crazy guy who had been just around the devotees for a few days decided to end his life. And so it almost hit Prabhupada and almost hit us. He just came smacking down on the sidewalk and killed himself. So Prabhupada went in the elevator, went upstairs and into his quarters. And then Jayananda became the shopkeeper. There was a store in the temple, and he was running the store. So we went in there, and there was Jayananda selling paraphernalia. As soon as we got in, he said, you got to buy something. Don't leave here without buying something. So he insisted. It reminded me of when I first, well, that was later than, it was before. It was before we got to San Francisco, and Jayananda and another devotee were like two white tornadoes directing everybody about where to do, what to do, how to set. First thing he said to me was, sit down and take prasad. So the carts were being built, and I was a carpenter. And I've been assigned to work on the paintings for the Chaitanya Charitamritas, and then also on the dioramas for fate. So I had to decide, and I took the decision to go with fate. any case, Jayananda had the experience of being Mr. Rath Yatra. He started the first carts and he engineered the first ones into the finished ones. And in L.A., when Jayananda finally arrived, he went down to Tijuana to try to get a cure for his leukemia. There's people down there that do alternative medicines because it's a forbidden FDA in America. You can't use that stuff. In any case, he went and he tried. It didn't happen. Nothing cured him. He had big bumps all over his body. He moved into an apartment right next door to myself, my wife. And he, at one point, he was called to his cart. The carts were being built right in the parking lot in front of the temple, near the temple. And it was done with a new kind of procedure that the whole thing could be assembled and reassembled at a moment's notice. Because these big, huge 2x8s were sliding into slots, metal position on each joint. And so he was called to come out and look at the progress of the cart. But meanwhile, there was a whole assembly waiting. It was his birthday, and had a big birthday cake in the shape of a Rath cart. One time, somebody from Bhagavan Zone brought Prabhupada a cake in the shape of a cow. Prabhupada looked at the cake and said, "You want me to eat the cow?" And that didn't happen. But this was a Rath cart, so it was okay. And so his parents were standing right behind him. He, in his wheelchair, he couldn't speak or couldn't walk very well. But he got up, stood on his feet, and addressed the whole group and recorded the message that he gave to everybody in the movement. He says, "Right now we're on the verge of developing a brand new car that can travel, be assembled, reassembled on location. That means Rath Yatra around the world, year round." And so he was on the phone talking to his friends and trying to get money to finance the Rath cart. His first idea was to go from temple to the beach, something like Jagannath Puri. And so then it became more practical to have the carts down at the beach and go down along Venice Boulevard. In any case, he got up and he spoke about Rath Yatra and about Jagannath and about the temple and about what his position was. And his parents were standing right behind him crying. Tears were flowing out of their eyes. And so he got back in his chair and went back to his apartment. Then on occasion he would come out and sit in front of Lord Jagannath. In L.A., Lord Jagannath is on one side, on the right side. So he'd sit there swaying back and forth, meditating Lord Jagannath. Then he had occasion to lead Guru Puja. There wasn't a dry eye in the place after he sang the Gurvastikam prayers. So Jayananda was a very rare personality. Mentioned that he had decided to clean the kitchen in 55th Street. So he ended up jumping inside the oven, which was big enough for him to get into, and cleaned it, took it all apart. He was an engineer, so that was his business, to take things apart and reassemble them clean. And one time he was on a site, the site where the carts were built was on a railroad transit depot area where just the cars are stored. And so that property had just been sold by a person who happened to be influential in New York. So one devotee went to see that person. A letter went first and asked if we couldn't use the carts, the space to build these carts. It's only a temporary thing and we'll be able to move the carts as soon as they're finished. And so he says, "Come to the Four Seasons and I'll give you my decision." So the devotee went there, and it just happened that person had just bought Four Seasons restaurant. And so he just left, and he left a letter, and in that letter, the top of the letter was read, "Trump." So it was our present president in America right now. And so Trump was the guy that sanctioned the space that gave the devotees a chance to build those carts. So now Trump may be taking a benediction from that obviously connection. And so by the fact that he got some blessing, he became president, maybe. So in any case, the carts were built, and then that night, the big wind blew up and it blew off the whole canopy, and that was a devastation. And there was a couple that were watching. They were like looking out the windows of their apartment, watching the guys build this cart. And so ultimately they couldn't believe what was taking place. Then when that wind blew that canopy off, it snapped the whole top of the canopy, top of the column that held it up. And so then they just were devastated because there's only hours left before the carts had to get online at the beginning of Central Park on Fifth Avenue. So they decided, okay, Giant Enemy, we'll do it, we'll build it, we'll finish it, we'll fix it. So they, if you notice in the pictures, that cart is a little shorter than the other carts. But they cut off that section, and rebuilt it, and it went to the line just in time for Rathiatra to happen. There's a famous picture of Jayananda in front of the carts and back to Godhead issue. Now there's a diorama I made in where the Jagannath deities are in Rajagat. And there is Jayananda in three different positions. And Jayananda called me into a meeting one day. And so I went to the meeting not knowing what was taking place. I'll give you one more story and that's it. So Jayananda, I better end it quick because we got to go. So the meeting was all about doing the Rathiatra and having a cart, or having a new change in body display for this man who was going to take a picture and put it on top of a mountain. The photographs would be seen all over the world. It happened. I did three times. So the third time, the change in body display was put on a mountain. The picture was taken. It appeared in that year, in 76, all over the world. So Jayananda left his body, and Prabhupada gave the benediction that he's like a saint. And so in every cart in the movement, his picture's there. As Mr. Rathiatra. Jayananda ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Jaya Brahmane. Sorry we went a little over, but I had to get these stories out, I'm sorry.